It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Mbofu, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again today.
Yes, how are you?
I am well, thank you very much, Mfundisi. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend.
I was worried I couldn't get you on the WhatsApp there, Mfundisi. I was panicking just a little bit.
Sorry, my man. I'm in town arranging some things here.
Okay, all right. So today we're talking about the grace of redemption. What is the connection between redemption and salvation? And how does grace facilitate the process of redemption, Funis?
Okay. Redemption and salvation are related. Because, yes, salvation, we are talking about being saved by Christ. Yes. And the redemption, we are also talking about being redeemed, removed from our situation of being sinful. Mm. And all that is the act of the grace, all that comes by the grace of God.
Right.
By the grace of God, yes, by the grace of God. Because the grace of God abounds as sin abounds.
Right.
The more our need of being redeemed. You see that? The more our need of being redeemed.
Mm.
That is to say, the more we are in the abundance of evil, the more we need redemption. That is, the more we need the grace of God.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So the Bible shows that as sin abounds, even more the grace of God abounds. That is Romans chapter 5, verse number 20.
Mm.
In other words, my man, what it means is that the grace of God will always be much more than our evil acts. Okay?
Okay.
So that this grace is able to redeem us from sin.
Mm.
The grace of God, if you were to measure in quantities, the grace of God will be more than our weaknesses, than more than our evilness. So that the grace has that power to redeem us from our sins.
Right.
It's like as if you are diluting. If you can just give an example, I can just give an example. From my understanding, it's like you are diluting your drink, you know, diluting your whatever crash drink you are having. They're much concentrated. You want to dilute it to a point where you can manage to swallow it.
Mm.
You see that? No matter how much you dilute it, you have to have the flavor of it. That's the power of grace.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Grace will always be felt in redemption. Yes.
Right, right.
So our sins will never engulf the grace of God.
Okay.
That's the beauty of grace. Yes. No matter how sinful, the grace of God is still able to redeem us.
Right. So how can we better understand the idea of redemption as a pathway towards spiritual transformation and growth, Mfundisi?
Yeah, redemption comes when we confess our sins, when we accept Christ as our Savior and understand that He is the one who forgives our sins.
Right.
Yes, we have begun the process of being redeemed.
Mm, mm.
Yes, when we accept Jesus, it's all about Jesus. We accept Christ as our Savior. The process of redemption has begun.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And we grow in it. We grow in it in the process of sanctification. Because redemption is when we accept Christ. Then once we accept Jesus, our sins have been forgiven. That is called justification.
Right.
And we grow in Christ. We grow in Christ every day.
Mm.
What does that mean, growing in Christ? Living as a Christian.
Right.
How do I live as a Christian? It is Christ in me who gives me the ability to avoid those things, those tendencies that I used to do before accepting Jesus Christ.
Right. So what
that is living as a Christian.
Let's talk practicalities now, Mfundisi. What are some of the practical examples of redemption, either in the context of religious teachings or in daily life? And how do we recognize these experiences?
You mean, you come again, my man?
I'm looking for the practical examples, Mfundisi, so those who are listening to us can understand the concept of redemption. So I'm asking you to give us practical examples of redemption, whether it is in the context of religious teachings or in daily life. And the main idea is to help us understand how we can recognize these experiences as redemption.
Yeah, the practical example is of a Christian life. You know, one who was in sin when he is now living as a Christian. One, you may be knowing someone who was living in a, you know, a sinful life. And after accepting Jesus Christ, we have Christians in our midst. Let me say, we have people who have been perhaps maybe thieves, who are no longer stealing now. We have people who were you know, maybe prostitutes,
okay,
who are no longer doing that. So they have been redeemed from evil tendencies.
Right.
You see that? Yes, that's the practical power of redemption, like you're asking. Practically, you can see it in the lives of people. If somebody who was living a lifestyle that is not in line with Christ,
right,
and after receiving Christ as your savior, you see that the person has changed completely.
Right, right.
He doesn't like things that he used to like.
Yeah.
That's a very practical part of the power of redemption.
Right.
A changed life from evil tendencies into a lifestyle that is in, you know, that conforms to the Christian standard.
Right.
That's the power, that's a tangible power of redemption.
Okay.
A changed life is an exhibit of the power of redemption that comes by the grace of God.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so how can the grace of redemption, and I'm putting those together, the grace of redemption provide hope and comfort to people who are struggling with guilt, people who are struggling with shame, people who are struggling with regret?
The grace of God, like I have said, the grace of Romans chapter 5, verse 20, when sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Romans chapter 5, let me just read that one quickly here, my man. Let me quickly go to the text here. I want people to get that. Jesus loves us so much that he cannot allow our sins to be more than his grace that he gives towards us. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, all right? Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. See that? Yeah. It's not about my sins. It's not about my sins. I should not worry about my sins. I should worry myself about my response towards the grace of God. Ever
right.
I accepted Christ. Yes. It's not about my sinfulness. It's about my acceptance of Christ. Did I choose to accept Jesus? Then all is history. All becomes history. It doesn't mind how much sinful you have been. The grace of God is sufficient to erase all that record of evilness. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds even more.
Right, right.
Yes, that's why grace is able to redeem us from our sin.
Okay. And then
yes,
my
and that should give us happiness and joy. Happiness and joy, because we know that by the grace of God, we will be redeemed from our sins, right, as long as we confess and accept Christ as our Savior.
That's it. That's it. As long as we confess and accept that. That's a very beautiful point to make there. Before we part ways, Mfundisi, let me just give you my one last question, and then now you can, after answering that, you can close for us with a word of prayer. My last question, Mfundisi, is how can we fully embrace the opportunity for redemption without ignoring or minimizing the harm that our actions may have caused to others?
Sorry, come again?
So, as people, as sinners, you've just released us from now the guilt and the shame and the regret from the things that we have done, Mfundisi. But now our actions our actions have impacted people. There are people who are hurt and who have been impacted by the wrong things we have done. So my question is, how do we fully embrace the opportunity for redemption without ignoring or minimizing the harm that our actions may have caused others?
Okay. If Christ abides in us, we will be able to reconcile where we have maybe hated people or made things wrong. We can go back and make up with people wherever possible, because that act is the act of the Spirit of God in us. We should not carry a guilt conscience of the wrongness that we have done to other people. Okay. But wherever is possible, we can go there, reconcile, and make up.
Hmm.
Because it is now Christ in us acting. It's Jesus enabling us to do things that we were not able to do before.
Okay. I hear you. All right. If you have the Spirit of God,
so
you must be able
to. We don't carry a guilt conscience. Wherever we did things wrong, we can go reconcile, ask for forgiveness from our brothers. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, the text says, before you offer your sacrifice, you remember that you, as a brother, you offended, you go back and reconcile.
Mm.
So that's the work of the Spirit of God in us. The work of the Spirit of God in us is the Spirit of reconciliation. That's the ministry of Christ. Christ who abides in us has the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
We reconcile with those we did wrong, hated, those we may have caused something that is not well and becoming. We go there, reconcile with them, and we don't force it to them.
Yeah.
We just avail ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes, we avail ourselves for forgiveness.
Right. I like that. I like that. Yeah. That's a good point to leave it on, Mfundisi. Let's avail ourselves to reconciliation. And I can imagine if you have hurt somebody and you go avail yourself to them, they can swear at you. Oh, I can imagine the things that can happen. But we still need to go and reconcile because we have done wrong. Please close for us with a word of prayer, Mfundisi.
Yes, thank you so much. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful of the short discussion of grace, an important topic that we have just discussed. Because of the grace of Christ, we are able to be forgiven of our sins and to connect with Jesus and eternity. We ask that our audience may understand the love of God that has come to us through His grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mfundisi, thank you very much for your time and your insights. Let's talk tomorrow. More about grace tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, my man.
Ngozi Mfundisi.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.